Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on a Friday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, camp coming to the end here as they'll have an open workout tomorrow. One more practice on Monday before heading down to Miami for practices with the Miami Dolphins on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then the first game comes up on Friday. We'll have all of your coverage right here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Daniel Flick, Falcons reporter for FanNationSI.com and the Falcon Report. And he's on Twitter, at DFlickDraft. Daniel, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight.
Absolutely, man. Happy to be here. Obviously, we're 1 week out from Atlanta's preseason opener, which obviously would be a lot of fun, and ready to chop it up with you here, man. Happy to be back on.
Well, let's get the bad news out of the way. Jeff Okuda goes down today, had to be carted off. If Okuda is, and again, we don't know what the severity is, and Arthur Smith talked a little bit about it, but who do you think's the next most likely guy to play outside corner for this team?
Yeah, so today Trey Flowers was the replacement, I guess. But, you know, so far in camp, there's been a lot of – it's kind of been a fluid rotation. You know, I think Cornell Armstrong is a guy that a lot of people on the outside aren't as high on, but Arthur Smith has mentioned at times throughout camp how impressive he's been. But I think when you look at kind of the way that they ran things today, Trey Flowers has also received quite a bit of praise throughout camp. And, you know, obviously I believe he's about 6'3", 200, really big body guy, signed earlier this spring. And so he's, you know, played for about 4 or 5 years on, you know, on the outside. And so I think there's a lot of experience there. You know, losing Okuda would be obviously, you know, it's not a certainty yet, but you know, it'd be a pretty big loss, but I think the Falcons feel confident with what they've kind of put together on the outside behind him over the last few months. One other option I think that's worth talking about, Clark Phillips, obviously has had an outstanding, you know, camp so far. Rookie fourth round pick out of Utah, primarily played inside so far in Atlanta. He was strictly an outside guy though in college. So I think, you know, when you look at Clark Phillips, is there a chance that they'll put him on the outside? I think maybe so. And I think as far as where he was in college, there's certainly a reason to believe that he could make an impact early on the outside. But, you know, from what we've seen so far in camp, I think Trey Flowers is probably the guy if Okuda obviously is out for, you know, several weeks, if not the season, unfortunately. But, you know, it's obviously we're in wait-and-see mode there. But I think as of right now, Trey Flowers would be, you know, option 1A for Atlanta on the outside.
And I know Clark Phillips, and we know that the, you know, the battles that he had with Drake London. But here's what I'll say. The NFL is a whole different game, and it's a whole different skill set as far as some of the athletes that are on the outside. I mean, you don't have tiny receivers. I mean, you got a lot of big-bodied guys, and they run really fast, and it's a whole different level, you know, at this point in the NFL. You think Phillips is big enough to handle on the outside? I mean, that's obviously the big concern is that, you know, his height may be a real issue when you're talking about lining up against, you know, some of the elite NFL wide receivers.
Yeah, I think concerning is probably the way I would word it. But I do think if you look around the league, past and present, there are past examples of some historical outliers that have been, you know, whether it's a 5'9", 5'10", outside corner where it's like, surely he's not, you know, capable of hanging, and then he ends up hanging. You know, so I think with Phillips, there's so much more to it than, you know, size alone. I always think back right after he was drafted, he said, I've been 5'9 my whole life. And, you know, obviously he won Pac-12's Conference Player of the Year playing outside corner last year. And, you know, so he saw quite a few larger receivers outside last year at West. And so, obviously, as you mentioned, not the same thing. But I do think there's enough, you know, past experience, past film on him working outside to where you'd be confident if that was the situation that, you know, you had to execute. But at the same token, they drafted him with the intention of playing him inside, which I think tells you the way that they viewed him pre-draft. I do believe Arthur Smith mentioned post-draft that he can play outside if needed. But again, I think that's why early on you're seeing Trey Flowers rather than Clark Phillips outside. And I just think that, you know, as things kind of play out, Mike Hughes is a you know, kind of underrated option that I don't think we've mentioned yet. And obviously he's played outside quite a bit so far, but I think in camp he's been primarily inside. Clark Phillips, same thing, primarily inside. So I think with Clark, there absolutely is, I think, a path to him playing on the outside. I just think when you kind of look at what we've heard about him so far as how Arthur Smith views him, pretty much how the entire staff views him, it is primarily inside. And so you would have thought that first team today, maybe Clark would have had a chance out there, but he really never did. And so I tend to think he's primarily looking at an inside route. I think that's something that'll be interesting to watch, you know, throughout the entirety of the, well, I guess, remainder of camp and then working throughout the preseason. But I mean, as of now, I think he's primarily a slot guy for them. We'll see kind of how it plays out moving forward, but I do think that right now he's probably looking at more of an inside role.
Daniel Flick joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Falcons writer. Excuse me. And I want to ask you about Zach Harrison, who has been an intriguing prospect as a rookie and third-round draft pick for this team. You know, I know a little bit about Ohio State. I'm from the Ohio area, and you know, I know some folks and stuff like that. And, you know, the word about Zach Harrison is he was a tremendous high school football player and five-star athlete coming out of high school, not far from the Columbus area, kind of northeast of Columbus. But the rap has always been, if he wants to be great, he'll be great. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have a good motor to it, but he probably should have been a better player than he was even in college. And I know he was second team all Big Ten, but, you know, at times that it just didn't all come together. But he's a very intriguing prospect. And, you know, I've said if he can be even 4 or 5 sacks, you know, again, this team is desperately looking for pass rusher help. If he can show signs of life about doing anything, I think he's got a real chance to play in this defense and have a good impact for this team.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, again, kind of hitting back on Arthur Smith's interviews throughout the last several months, you can kind of see the progress that he's made in the way that they've talked about it. After the draft, a lot of the talk was, yeah, we don't really need him to play right away at all. It's kind of like a redshirt situation, really. But, you know, I actually asked Arthur about this a few days ago, and one of the things that he told me that I was kind of surprised about, he said that if they had to start him in week one, they'd feel completely fine with that. And so I think, you know, the more that you ask guys, whether it's other linemen or opposing lineman, whoever it may be. The thing that keeps coming up about Zach is that he's really working at it. And I know you mentioned that at Ohio State, the, you know, I guess overall work ethic was kind of the main question with him. So far in Atlanta, I don't think that's kind of an issue. So I think he's kind of quieted some of those concerns. He's been consistently productive in camp, and I think he reached a new level when Pats came on, which is obviously, you know, what you want to see. And so I think when you look at Zach Harrison, there's a lot of bodies in that room, especially kind of in that same 3-5 technique role that he's probably going to end up playing. But again, the talent there is undeniable. The traits are undeniable. And as you kind of hear some of his veteran teammates talk about him, the more excited you get. And I think Arthur Smith mentioned Zach Harrison as a riser twice, kind of unprompted throughout the last week. And then again, when I asked him about him, he could not have been higher on him. You know, I'm pretty sure he started off with saying that a lot of senior college kids are, you know, fifth, sixth year now. Zach was a straight 4-year senior. And so he's still pretty young. They love how much room that he has still. As far as, you know, play style improvements. And, you know, again, he showed up even with the pedigree. There was still so much more to come from him with his skill set and everything else with him there that I think he was viewed as more of a project player. But the way that he performed throughout OTAs and the way that he's performed so far in camp, he's really kind of shaken that tag. And, you know, I think really when you look at the entirety of the Falcons rookie class, Zach Harrison's probably been the most surprising standout so far. And so I think really he's probably outperformed their expectations and for sure a lot of the outside expectations as well. So, you know, I don't think it's a situation where they want him playing heavy snaps as a rookie, but I do think that he's for sure helped his odds. And I think as you kind of look at the next year or two for him, I think that he's probably still going to end up playing, I'd say maybe 20-30% of snaps this year, which, again, compared to how they viewed him post-draft, I think that would be a pretty significant jump. And then you're kind of looking towards the future as some of the current one-year contracts that they have run out and kind of hoping set the stage for a really big leap for him entering year two. But as things stand currently, I think he's off to an extremely fast start and one that, frankly, has probably only helped his projection long-term as well.
And, you know, that is a question because this is what I was going to ask you is, you know, we've seen with Dean Pease's defense the first couple of years a real hesitancy to play rookies, and I don't care where they were drafted. I mean, it's been a situation where, you know, Richie Grant only played about 20% of the snaps in his rookie year. There's been that hesitancy, you know, do you see that changing? I mean, you know, we always hear about how complicated Dean Pease's defensive system is. Do you think Ryan Nielsen or Arthur Smith or, you know, is there an opportunity for rookies to play more, you know, in their first year? Because we haven't seen that the last couple of years. But if you got a guy that's playing really well, why not keep him on the field? I always go back to Ebikadi. He should have started more than one game last year, but again, for whatever reason, they didn't do it. I think that there, if a guy's playing really well, you got to start playing some of these guys.
Yeah, I would agree. And I do think, you know, to answer the overall question, I do think there is more of an opportunity. I think with Pease, as you mentioned, there was a lot of talk about how just complex his scheme was. And even some of the veterans that were, you know, under him, especially year one, talked about that quite a bit. But I think with Ryan Nielsen, there's so much of an emphasis on just, you know, constant rotation, fresh bodies up front. I think with Zach Harrison, he just fits such a prototypical mold of what Ryan Nielsen wants up front. And I think as you kind of look at the Falcons' makeup in that room up front, Calais Campbell is 37 years of age, I do believe. And so, you know, that's a guy that even he talked about, he only wants to play, intends on playing about 50% of snaps this year. Again, you kind of look at the interior and outside of that room. It's a lot of guys who are 30 plus, you know, again, with Campbell, it's 36, 37. So you're, again, looking more at longevity of the season. This is a Falcons team that wants to play and has full-on plans of playing into, you know, mid to late January, if not longer. And so I think when you look at how Ryan Nielsen has historically run his rooms up front, there have been a lot of guys who've seen a lot of extended action. And so I think with Zach Harrison, you know, compared to how Pease kind of ran his ship the past 2 years, I do think there's more of an opportunity this year. I think, again, early, probably not so much. Obviously, there's still, you know, a few, pretty much, a few training camp sessions still to come. And then obviously, I think the preseason will end up being really, really important for him. Obviously, Miami in a few weeks here, well, I guess it's a few days, right? But, I mean, that'll be very, very important for him. And I think kind of looking ahead, I think the first half of the season is probably going to be relatively quiet for him. But if you remember last year, you mentioned Arnold Ebiketie really kind of started turning the corner around that week 8, week 9 period. And then, you know, he actually injured his forearm in about week 10, week 11. I was speaking with him, I think, 2 days ago about that. And he talked about how that injury really limited him over the last month and a half. So I think with Zach Harrison, it's kind of he'll follow a similar path there to where early on you're not going to see as much of him. But again, as you kind of move throughout the year, injuries happen, you know, just kind of your veteran rest package is also kind of trying to limit some of the workload on some of the older players you have outside. I think naturally you'll see Zach kind of work his way into that mix more. I think he'll be a pretty early special teams contributor as well. And it could be a situation where he kind of earns more snaps that way as well. But I do think that as the year progresses, we'll keep hearing more and more about Zach Harrison, and we'll kind of keep on seeing, you know, why he was so highly thought of. And kind of, again, we'll probably end up looking kind of towards year two for him as kind of the main year. But I do think we'll see flashes this year to where this time, you know, early August of 2024, we'll probably kind of look at now and say that was all really, you know, a sign of what's to come from him. So I think we'll see flashes this year. Obviously, he's created a whole lot of hype around him so far. And I think there's only more in the tank for him, and very eager to kind of see how that plays out.
Daniel Flick covers the Atlanta Falcons for Falcons Report on Fan Nation, part of the SI.com network. And he's on Twitter at DFlickDraft. And join me on the waitfor.com hotline. Daniel, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you as always.
You got it. When we come back, be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from the head coach as he did talk about the Jeff Okuda injury. And we had an old familiar face at camp today. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.